ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey,
how we doing?
We doing pretty good. How about you?
Fine, thank you.
He's Blank, I'm Branham, and Brian behind the glass. Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. These fires in California, in L.A., this is some scary stuff. If you know anybody in L.A. area, our thoughts are with you. Of course, we know Granado. You have your in-laws. How close are they to these fires?
So they're a little less than 2 hours away, okay. But Lisa used to work in that market, so she is watching it real closely with friends and others that are in that area.
So they're safe. Your
for now,
safe.
Yeah.
This stuff's scary. I was watching the news coverage of this morning. Like, just right through neighborhoods. Neighborhoods are completely gone.
And the people flying in are showing, like, the sunny blue sky until you get right on the outskirts of L.A. and you look towards the skyline and it's just this massive dark black cloud.
Yeah, our thoughts with you. Prayers with all of those. That's some scary stuff. A little behind the scenes here at ESPN 97.5. Some of you might know what the offices here look like. We do some social media stuff. Sam, our social media gal, was trying to get us to dance yesterday on TikTok. Who does she think she's asking, trying to get us to dance?
We're always the guinea pigs.
Well, no, we're not. I refuse to be.
Well, I mean, we didn't do it yesterday, but normally we're the ones that are more willing than any other show in terms of doing what they want us to do.
We got you with that one prank.
Yeah.
I forget what that prank was called. But anyways, we have the stations here. You walk down the hallway. There's some offices. Of course, the suits are upstairs. But Lance's office is like on the way to the kitchen. And sometimes he's here, you know, doing his film work, getting ready for, you know, his second job. I don't think Lance knows my name. I don't think he knows who I am. Because every time that I walk by his door, it's open. I'm like, hey, Lance, how's it going? He always, like, hesitates. Oh, hey, how you doing? Never says my name. Ever.
I think this is ADD.
No, like,
I don't know.
It's the door angle.
I don't think he knows who I am.
Because by the time, he's not looking at the door when you walk by. And when you say hi, you're already down the hallway. So he...
I'm not that quick, Blinkers. Thank you for thinking fast.
I mean, he's done it. I've seen him do it with me and with others, too, where he kind of has to pop his head out because he's just not that quick.
I don't think he knows who I am. Either that or he's big leaguing us.
He works with Granado.
I think he's very much in his own world at that point.
Big leaguing us. You would think, you know, he might know what my voice sounds like.
Well, but with as frequently as Granado brings you up, he has to know your name.
I don't know if I don't know if he places.
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
My name with my face. I think he thinks that Jeremy that Granado's talking about and me physically are two different people.
Also a possibility.
I think he does, really. I'm being serious. Yeah, Granado's out there in L.A. too. I saw some of the he was posting some video after his show today, driving around in L.A.
I think he got off the air early because there was a lot going on there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he might have lost power at their place.
Yeah, but from listening to the show, I think he's fine. He's talking about still playing golf and poker after each show every day. I think that's more off in the distance
today
from where he's at. Yeah.
Oh, because I thought the guys were betting after he left the show. They were betting he'd just get Chad to send the private plane so that he could come here and play golf. But although it might be too cold for him, he didn't know which one he'd choose.
Yeah, anyways, Rockets yesterday, they beat the Wizards. They blew out the Wizards. Started a little bit slow. Not a great first quarter, to be honest. A little sloppy. Maybe weren't awake. It was very cold there. They got outscored 30-20 in the first quarter and still win by 23. They outscored the Wizards from the second quarter on by 33 points. Now, the Wizards are very possibly the worst team in the NBA, so they have that going for them. But that's what you're supposed to do. Start of a road trip. I don't care how it's done. Just go out and win comfortably if you can. And the Rockets did that, so I'm pleased with how yesterday went.
Good balance. And again, the young guys are doing what you want them to do, and everybody seems to be contributing, and I think that's what you like the most because – the other thing that I like is when they interviewed Jalen after the game and said, you know, what, and Vanessa asked, what did Ime tell you at the half? He basically said, we played like bleep and we better start playing better in the third quarter. They went nuts and what Jalen and Alpi combined for 36 points and they had themselves a day. They basically never looked back after that. I just like the fact that you're getting contributions and balance across the board. The starters are really good, but the guys coming off the bench are giving you numbers and they've got a really solid core right now of really talented players.
Yeah, the third quarter was promising. I don't know how much you can take from this game and be like, yeah, the Rockets are – like, I think highly of the Rockets. Of the two of us, I probably think more of them than you do. But even yesterday's game, I'm not like, yes, they beat up on this Wizards team. Now, some impressive things throughout. Like Amin Thompson – I saw one stat that Amin Thompson's the first player since Yao Ming to have 20 points, 15 rebounds, and zero turnovers. That's only been done three times in Rockets history. Akeem, Yao, and Amin. So, like,
it's weird.
It's a weird stat. So, like, I don't know how much weight it actually carries. But if you're in the same conversation as Akeem and Yao, okay, you're doing something pretty good.
Sure.
So, like, he had a productive game, got 41 minutes, which we both want him to play 35 minutes or more. Dylan Brooks hit some shots. Alpi went off against a bad team. Fred VanVleet looked like, you know, can be an NBA player again, even though he left that game a little bit early. And then Jalen Green, you mentioned, he had that explosion in the third quarter. When Jalen gets going, Jalen's a really good scorer. It just, he doesn't always get going.
Well, I think that's the, I don't want to say fool's gold, but that's what, that's the carrot that keeps getting dangled at us. When he is that way, he shows signs of being a guy that can be one of the more dominant players in the league. It's just that we also know that the wheels can fall off in a hurry, and when those shots aren't going, that there's a different player there too, and then a lot of times he gets his dauber down, and you know, there's issues that go with it in terms of effort and things like that. But there's no doubt he has the talent. He has the ability to score points, and the nice thing is in several games in the last week or so, he's found that hot quarter where he's really turned it up, and it's been the difference in a tight game or a blowout that the Rockets coasted to a victory subsequently afterwards. So it's never been about the talent. It's just the consistency, because he's a shot taker. He's got to be more of a shot maker.
54 win pace now. Actually, 55 if you round up. 55 win pace. You willing to go above 50 yet?
Nope.
No?
No. See, because
36 games
I was talking to one of my acquaintances, one of my buddies yesterday about this, who's kind of like you and more positive than me in terms of, I'm just trying to be realistic about the team. And I said, yeah, but there's still only a 3-game lead over the 8 spot in the West. And it, whether it's 3 or 4, I didn't see how the rest of the standings went last night. But the thing is, if they go into a mini swoon, or they just go into a losing streak of 3 or 4 games, everything can flip on its ear. So I love the start. Look, the biggest thing is they're watchable. I mean, how many times did you and I have to deal with, we have to watch these games, we record them so we can fast through as much, you know.
I was lying. I was not watching them last year.
See, that's the thing, because it was so hard to watch.
I watched them with E-Man. I didn't watch them with Silas.
Right, with Silas. They were unwatchable. But the brand of basketball that they're playing, and now the talent that you see within the guys that are playing, makes it entertaining to watch, win or lose, and the future is extremely bright.
Yeah. No, I think 50's in play. You're right about how it's bunched up in the West, but it's bunched up in the West, and you beat L.A. Like, you beat the Lakers the other day. 4 games. So it's 4 games over the 2 L.A. teams. But it is bunched up. It's bunched up. And, like, you do have to pay attention. Although, I don't really like that Lakers team.
Oh, I'm not.
See, I'm not really in love with that Lakers team.
Charles isn't either, obviously. But there's a lot of people that see that they could be fool's gold, with the exception of Davis and LeBron. I think that you just have to look across the landscape, though, and go, well, if Kyrie and Luka come back, they're capable of going on a run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Sacramento is. I just don't know that that's a team that you have to worry about if you're the Rockets. The Pelicans getting Zion back, they're a mess. I don't think you got to worry about a team like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're 7-30.
Yeah, it's just you're looking at the West going, what are the teams that are going to be most closely bunched with you to where it might be a problem with you getting in or having to play in? And I think that there's a legit chance that they could finish, you know, in that 4-5 range, and getting off to a start like this is huge. It's just that it's not late enough in the season with a big enough margin to where I would say, yeah, I really feel good they're going to have home court.
I agree with you about the margin, but it's 36 games in.
Mm-hmm. We're almost halfway point. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're 5 games away from the halfway point of the year. I don't know if it's like, it's not early in the year anymore.
No, but it's still not even to the midway point in the season where I'm not going to be penciling them in for a bona fide playoff spot when I know that those 3 to 4 games can be made up in the course of one bad road trip or one guy getting hurt. You don't know. So
I'm gonna see how far I can get you to budge off of this. You had the Rockets in the play-in at the start of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you had them in the play-in, but not in the playoffs.
I did. That's correct.
So Rockets top 6 at the end of the year.
It's a good chance.
No, I'm saying, are you willing to go there? Moment of truth. I feel like this is a huge question.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like Frost Nixon right now.
I just, from my standpoint, I'm trying to get my computer to bring up the standings.
I'll give you the standings. It's Rockets are in second. Right. Half game up on Memphis. There are 3.5 games up on Denver. 3.5 games up on Dallas. 4 games on the Lakers. 4 games on the Clippers. 5 games on the Wolves. 6 games on the Spurs. 6 games on the Warriors. And then 6.5 on Sacramento. 7.5 on Phoenix.
they're gonna. Then I will give you that they should be a top 16.
We got them there.
There you go.
I feel like this is a big win. I think this is a paramount moment for you.
I think they should be a top 16 if that's the case. Because, you know, Phoenix is the team that I thought was going to be much better. And then the fact that Denver's not playing the kind of basketball I expected them to play, and Dallas has their two main players out for a significant portion of time.
You see who's popping off for them, though, right?
No.
Quentin Grimes popping off for Dallas.
I like him there. I think he's like a younger version of a Klay Thompson, where he can settle in and do his thing shooting the basketball. I think it's a good fit for him.
Tillman should have been a homer and drafted those two Rockets. He should have drafted Quentin Grimes. Who was it they drafted ahead of him? Oh, it was it like Ty Washington? I think it was one of those dudes.
Ty was like 22.
I'm going to have to look this up real quick. But then the obvious one was they traded the pick that they could have used for Jamal Shedd. AJ Griffin.
You don't have to pay Holiday $10 million a year if you have Jamal Shedd.
He retired. He retired. Like, the dude was in his mid-20s and he retired. Not that he was like any slight to the Rockets.
Oh, that's right.
He would have retired.
Adrian Griffin's kid.
Yeah, he retired. Like, you traded the pick. I think it was 54th pick. You traded the 54th pick for Adrian Griffin's kid, who then retired in his mid-20s, mm-hmm. and you could have kept it and drafted Jamal Shedd there. Quentin Grimes was drafted. Oh, he was drafted a pick after Josh Christopher and Garuba. So the Rockets had 23-24. They drafted Garuba at 23, Josh Christopher at 24. So, like, Tillman, be a homer every now and then. If you're a homer every now and then, you got Quentin Grimes and Jamal Shedd.
I mean, at least those guys turned out. I mean, Josh Christopher, never. He was just a chucker. And Garuba was awful. Yeah. I mean, what's the worst you can do is bring a hometown kid that has talent to your squad, and you're going to have people that are very interested in the city, and he can pan out, and obviously he's panned out better than those two.
I know this is Tillman, like, he doesn't meddle, which is good. I don't want my owners to meddle. I think Tillman's doing a great job with the Rockets. How could you argue? But meddle every now and then. Get your U of H guys over there. Be meddle every now and then. Be a little bit of Jim Crane every now and then to draft the Cougars. But I digress. I'm happy that we got Blankers here to admitting that he thinks the Rockets are going to be a playoff team. Do we have any celebratory music? I feel like we need a party here. Like, you want to take a shot? Because I think the Rockets, let's celebrate it.
I think that when you look at the landscape and the teams that I had kind of penciled in to be top six, I've written some of those teams off. So I think that it's the door flew wide open. They're obviously capitalizing, playing some really good basketball from the start of the season to now. And, you know, God forbid any kind of catastrophe with an injury or something, I think that they should finish in the top six.
They play Memphis tomorrow, which, look, Memphis could jump them. Okay, that's fine. That's one team that jumps them. Denver could jump them, right? Agree?
Yes.
Dallas could jump them. Yes. They get right. Okay, that's three teams. You think the Lakers could jump them?
I think it's an outside chance. I think the Lakers are going to be busy trying to make another move, trying to bring someone else that might be able to save the day. But I don't think it'll be enough.
Clippers?
Kawhi just left the team again. No, I don't.
Minnesota?
Yes.
You think they could? So that's four. They can get up to four. Because if you're second right now, four teams jump you, you're six. Mm-hmm. San Antonio, Golden State?
Neither one.
Sacramento, Phoenix?
I got to believe Phoenix is going to do everything in their power to get Butler. Uh-huh. But I don't think it's going to be enough.
Mark this day down, Houston. January 8, 2025. Joel Blank is predicting the Houston Rockets to be a playoff team in the Western Conference.
Blankers finally came
this
around.
This is a huge deal.
They should.
Don't sleep on this moment.
Oh, you see, I
answered his question the exact same way. Then, yes, they should be a playoff.
Yeah, this is good.
He just gave himself an out. He put the little loophole in the contract that he just signed that he can now claim he was right if they don't make the top six.
I'm not going to do it like that. I think it's the same way when I went from 9 and you guys started talking me into with the Texans' good start that they could be a 10-win team, and I agree.
This is fun. Is it likely that Amin will develop an outside shot with consistency if he hasn't by this point? No.
I'll tell you what. After our conversation yesterday, watching that game last night, the one thing that actually I raised an eyebrow to say, hey, to our conversation, the conversation as it tilted towards a Russ type comparison, he was making mid ranges. And he made back to back at one point where they were off the dribble and kind of stop and pull up. And I'm like, okay, that's a little bit of progress.
You know what I like? Whenever they clear the half of the floor for Amin Thompson, they put four guys on the other side, and they say, here you go, Amin, you're going to go one-on-one with this guy. And he just goes straight downhill right at their chest. Yeah. That excites me.
That he's the guy that gets the ball, that's where it has the most Russell Westbrook-like feel, mm-hmm. or the old days of Clyde just putting his head down. You're like, it doesn't look good to start, but you know something good's going to happen, and you want to see it because he is just lightning going down the floor.
This was in a half court. This was a half-court set. They overloaded one half of the floor. They put a Min Thompson on the left wing. One-on-one. They cleared the floor. He attacked going downhill and destroyed his dude.
That tells you something, too, that he can score around the basket. So that gives you hope that there's enough touch that jumper is going to come. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to be a three-point shot, but at least I was really encouraged by his mid-range yesterday.
Yeah, he's got some touch from the mid-range. I want Ime to do more of the half-court sets where he's clearing the floor and letting him in go one-on-one, because I think he's impossible to stop one-on-one when he's getting
downhill.
That's a
set that the 1-4 flats are the ones they used to run for Jalen that didn't go that well, mm-hmm. and they should because of how talented athletically Jalen is. But he capitalizes. The other thing that I like, though, is he'll take that situation, and if all the defense collapses in the lane, he'll find the guy on the wing for the shot. Yeah,
Jalen's better at finishing at the rim lately, too.
Yes.
He's improved there. Jalen also, we like to look at his three-point percentage every now and then. Dun, dun, dun. 33%. Not terrible.
Not bad.
It was under 30 like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
His last 10 games, he's 37% from three.
What I like about both guys is the free throws are going. Amen is shooting better free throws than he did last year, too.
His last 10 games for Jalen, 24 a game, 37% from three. Give me that.
That's okay.
Give me that. Yeah. Like, I'll take
to
that
your
for Jalen.
The thing that's really, really encouraging is because he's got so much ability to get up in the air and hang, he finished around on bigs around the rim just by taking the contact, absorbing it, and hanging in the air.
Yeah.
And he's still long enough to finish near the rim. That's what he should be doing a lot of.
I'm ready for Fred Van Vliet to get out of here.
I'm not arguing that point
Keith
at all.
From L.A., the Lakers are one player away. If we stay healthy and away from the play-in, my money is in LeBron in a 7-game series. We'll see about that.
What one player are you getting that's going to save the Lakers?
Maybe Redick can come out of retirement, knock down some threes. I don't watch the Rockets because paying for FUBU to just watch Space City Network is ridiculous. Different strokes for different folks. But we still won. It's like the Texans win the division and pray. That's a weird comparison to me. Granado's golf was canceled today, says the texter. You know, thoughts and prayers for Granado that his golf was canceled today.
That tweet that he put out was pretty ominous, the smoke.
Yeah, it was weird. It was near,
he was in his car.
Yeah. I mean, I'm legitimate. I watched news coverage of that all morning long.
It's
scary.
Lisa's got family and friends. She's watching it all the time.
Comparing Amin Thompson to Westbrook is insane. SMDH, says the texter.
Then call me crazy.
You want to address that?
I have previously. I've said the fact that Russell Westbrook never had a three-point shot. Russell Westbrook, as we just talked about, when he had the ball in his hands and was going end-to-end in transition, was tough to stop and put fear in a lot of people's eyes. And I think that if he continues to work on his shot, the fact that he can play that style of game, he's unselfish, he's a ball handler, he's a distributor, that I believe that maybe not as athletically strong and physical as Russ, that he could play a very similar type of game.
1 to 10. How sad are you that Justin Verlander is gone, and should the Astros retire his number? A busy show. It's a Wednesday. Blankers was thirsty on Twitter yesterday. A Texans offensive line. Are we getting closer to a good offensive line? At least the best configuration of their offensive line? And we're also going to play the coaching carousel game in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitter, ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
1 to 10, how sad are you that JV is gone? Get to that in a minute. 713-780-3776. Texter says Russell Westbrook is a far better comparison than the Rodman comparison Lance was trying to push this morning. I hadn't heard this. I'm going to need to hear this, I think.
Brian, were you listening then? Because that's ridiculous.
Where's our intern? Intern, go
no,
run
I
down the hall.
I didn't hear that comparison.
I'll go down the hall next break and try and figure out what the hell he was thinking on that one. And I hope
that
knows
must have
who
been
I
after I turned off the show, and because I usually listen around the time I'm dropping off my daughter, but I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, we need to know more about that. We need some context on that one. I'd like to know myself. Another texter, Christopher, actually he's a YouTuber. Jalen is stepping up for his stepson. It's a good point. I think it's dad strength is what's happening.
Oh, his stepson's been here?
His stepson went to the game the other day. They went to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, too. I think they walked across the stage in the same class.
It's close.
They are the same age.
The stepson.
I know. The stepson and Jalen Green are like the same age.
I thought the stepson's a couple years younger.
I thought he was 22.
No, I thought he was closer to like 18.
I don't know, man.
It's close regardless.
Regardless.
Jalen's way closer to the stepson's age than he is to his... I don't even know if it's a stepson yet. They're not married yet, are they?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Maybe future. Maybe future one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I did see the tweets about
You still get dad strength when you're only like 22 years old?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I know Jalen's got like, what, 3 kids at this point? You still get dad strength even if you're...
Does Jalen have 3?
He has 3 kids?
I think so.
I thought this was his first.
No, he's got more than one. I'd bet a lunch
on that. They're all his?
Well, yeah, they're all his, but I don't know. It might be different women. The whole idea of dad strength, and you're barely old enough to drink. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if you still get dad strength. I think you have to be over 30 to get dad strength.
I don't know. Have you seen his numbers in the last 10 games? They're pretty good.
What about the games before that?
Not so great.
he's
they're okay.
He's still pretty streaky.
They're okay. Just not, great. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. Justin Verlander has signed a deal with the San Francisco Giants. $15 million for Justin Verlander. Way too much. I had a little bit of interest bringing back Verlander because more because of the nostalgia. Like, he didn't pitch well last year. When he came back from that neck, shoulder, whatever it was, they were mysterious about it. He pitched really poorly. He had an ERA, like, in the eights. Like, I didn't want Justin Verlander back other than, like, hey, he's the greatest Astros starting pitcher of all time. Let's bring him back on a super cheap deal. He's getting $15 million. $15 million for JV.
This is like where pitchers go to die, right? Because didn't Maddox go there at the end of his career?
I think it was San Diego, wasn't it?
Yeah, his last stop was San Diego.
I thought he did the Giants first.
No, he went to the Dodgers and San Diego. He didn't go to the Giants.
I'm thinking there's been a couple, though, that have gone to the Giants late in their career and just didn't last either. But, yeah, it's a weird fit for me because we keep saying that, and I've always been pretty hell-bent on the fact that he's chasing 300. He's chasing individual, goals, too, and that's a tough division. And the good thing, I guess, is it's a
good
bigger
pitcher's park, though.
It's a bigger ballpark for him, which is what I was going to say. But overall, that money, I was like, I hope the Astros were never even in that conversation because I'm not paying Justin Verlander $15 to come back, especially for nostalgia.
I don't think they're ever in the conversation. Like, Dana Brown said those things at the start of the offseason. Yeah, we're going to talk to his agent, blah, 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 which Dana Brown has loose lips. I think he says a lot. And maybe they were entertaining the idea early in the offseason. Like, he said, hey, we could use another starting pitcher. Problem with Dana Brown, you have to read between the lines, and it's difficult to do it sometimes. But the moment they acquired Wisniewski in the Kyle Tucker trade, and he said, yeah, we're going to give him every chance to be a starter, I think that ruled out any idea of Justin Verlander returning
probably
to the Astros.
Probably right. And look, the main takeaway here is, from my standpoint, what I saw once he came back wasn't good enough for me to think that that's a guy that I want back, unless it was one heck of a sweetheart deal, and you just see what you got. But at that price tag, no way, never, wouldn't even have considered it. Glad they didn't and let him walk because that Crane caveat of being the guy that, likes his golf buddy around, that was a little worrisome too.
Yeah. No surprise that he's not an Astro. I was surprised by the figure. The $15 million is crazy. But the question that I would have for all of you, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. And I do think that Justin Verlander is the greatest Astros starting pitcher of all time. Two Cy Youngs with the Astros. He's amongst the leaders in Astro starting pitching history, like number 2 in ERA, first in WHIP, like whatever. But he also had two Cy Youngs, and he was the anchor of the pitching staff that won 2 World Series. Whenever they traded for Verlander in 17, he became the ace, pitched like an ace down the regular season, pitched well in the postseason up until the World Series. He was the dude in their rotation, the first World Series they ever brought to Houston. They won the World Series in 2022. He won the Cy Young that year. So I do think that Verlander is the greatest starter in Houston history. I do think that it should retire his number. Where do you stand on the number thing?
I think you got me to kind of turn the corner on that one. I think that, based on the fact when you look at his numbers, it's hard to argue that he isn't one of the best pitchers in Astros history. If he's one of the best pitchers in Astros history and Larry Durker's number is up there, there's no reason why Justin Verlander's 35 shouldn't be up.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of retiring numbers like as an organization, but once you start doing it, you have to continue doing it. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely retire Verlander's number. Again, I think he's the greatest starter in the franchise's history. How are you not retiring his number? And if you disagree with me that he's not the greatest, he's in the top 3.
Right.
Easily in the top 3.
And I think as that relates to, I'm not a fan of having a guy's number retired by 2 different teams, but it's pretty safe to say the Tigers are going to retire that number quickly.
If they do retire numbers, I don't know if they do.
Yeah, and to your point on that, I think it's the very, like 99 with the Texans. I just think 99 is one of those specific examples of like the best player in your franchise's existence where you could consider doing it, and everybody else you do like the Ring of Honor type thing. But it is weird when you see guys like even CD Lamb wearing 88 in Dallas, or guys Freiermuth wearing 88 with Steelers. But some of those legendary numbers, it's weird when you see some new guy wearing that number.
Well, the Texans aren't going to do the numbers.
I've heard that they're just going to do the ring, but yeah. I just think, like I said, the exception would be a guy that was JJ.
Hannah said they're not going to do it. Hannah didn't like it, the idea of it, and what Hannah says goes. But nobody wears 99. That said, how sad are you to see Justin Verlander go? 713-780-ESPN. We'll kick it around on the other side. One being not sad at all, 10 being depressed. Where do you stand on how sad you are that JV is no longer an Astro, at least for now? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a word for mybookie.ag. There's a lot going on right now, and you can take advantage of it, whether you're a returning customer or you're new to the site. Now is the time. You got the college football playoffs again tomorrow night and Friday night. You've got a massive weekend of NFL football. You've also got college and pro basketball. Tons of sports going on. Lots of opportunities to make some cash. And the place I always tell you to do it is mybookie.ag, because they're always taking care of you as a customer. Always remember our promo code, BET975. Use it whenever they ask for it or wherever you can, because you are going to benefit. You're going to cash in. Like right now, they are once again doing that 50% bonus. You put in $100, they put in 50 more. 50% of what you put in up to $1,000, they're going to put on top of that instantly. More money in your account means more games you can bet on and more chances you can win. And even when there's not games going on, they have live dealers standing by so that you can play casino games. Poker, blackjack, you don't have to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. All right there in the comfort of your own home, whether you're on your iPad, your computer, or your phone, you can do it with mybookie.ag. They're always taking care of their customers. They've been in business over a decade. They want to take care of you too. So go to mybookie.ag right now and use that promo code BET975. Claim that 50% bonus on your first deposit. They are taking care of you, so why wouldn't you play there? As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jalen has two kids, for all of you that were curious. They're 2 months apart, too, by the way.
Are they really?
That's what Todd said. But Todd also said that there was one, so I don't know if I can trust Todd.
True, he was bragging and wanting the free lunch.
No, the math does math. It's just, you have to have an addition. Another variable.
That's what I would describe it. Yes, he's got lots of variables.
713-780-ESPN. Dad strength. When can you get? The texter says that you can't get dad strength until you're at least 30 years old.
But, yeah,
definitely have to be
stance,
over
yeah.
30 or even 35 to get dad strength. No, you have a kid and you acquire dad strength.
I don't know. No, I mean, you're not even old enough to rent a. Jalen's not
dads.
Even old enough to rent a car right now. He can't have dad strength.
Yeah, I don't even know what dad strength really is. I can't say, like, you know, I understand, like, if a child's going through something, like, you could, if the car rolled on or something, like that, all of a sudden dad strength is, you could actually move the car or do things like that. But I don't know what dad strength really means.
Yeah, see, I think I was born with it. I think I was born with the dad strength.
Really, you do?
713.
Tell us more about your athletic accomplishments.
780-ESPN. 1 to 10, how sad are you that Justin Verlander is gone, Blankers? 1 being you're not losing any sleep. 10 being, oh, no, JV, come back.
1.
You're a 1?
Yeah, I'm not losing any sleep. I tip of the cap and appreciate all that he did while he was here. It was time.
Yeah, I think I'm at like a 2 or a 3. I like Justin Verlander a lot. I feel like Justin Verlander actually gets an unfair amount of heat. Like, I feel like he gets a little bit of disdain from the Astro fan base, which I find to be pretty odd, considering he's arguably, and I would argue, the greatest starting pitcher in Astro history. Like, a lot of people have taken some shots at Justin Verlander, or... This is the one that you get all the time. I can't believe the Astros traded Ryan Clifford and Drew Gilbert for Justin Verlander. Look, maybe you can have that take someday. You can't have it right now. Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford have not even played in a baseball game at the big league level. Justin Verlander, when you traded for him in 2023, was pretty helpful to a team that got to the seventh game of the ALCS.
I think that's the biggest takeaway, is that it's the whole Janet Jackson theory again. All they remember is how it finished, how it ended. And everybody remembers the guy that couldn't go deep into the game, that wasn't even close to the pitcher that he was when he first got here. But they lose sight of the fact that you would have really had your hands full, and you would have had a lesser chance to win the World Series when he got here. He saved your bacon. He was the guy that got you over the hump. He was the guy that was a part of that first ever World Series in Houston. He had big game after big game for you. He had great seasons. He won a Cy Young here. That's the stuff that people like to put way back in the rearview mirror so far that they lose sight of it while they're remembering, well, you know, boy, he was terrible at the end of the year last year. Okay, but he still had a really good career here.
Yeah, like if Drew Gilbert and Ryan Clifford like turn out to be all-stars in the next 3 years, okay, then I will listen to that conversation. But you can't be like, oh, they gave up these great prospects. They haven't even made the big leagues yet. Like, you can't give me that argument right now. You could say it potentially, but have some respect for Justin Verlander. I've seen a lot of disrespect for JV, the greatest starting pitcher in Astro history. Where do you stand? 1 to 10, Brian. You're more emotional than we are.
That's an interesting take. I put myself at a 2. Like, I can't go 1 because to me that's like you don't care at all. But so I won't put myself there just because of what he's meant to this franchise. But at the same time, he's old. We've seen the decline, especially this last season, and it didn't make financial sense once you see what he got from the Giants. So overall, I completely understand it, but it's more like that sucks. Like, I miss him as an Astro, but I'm completely realistic to where the Astros and he are at this point in time.
Yeah, I'm sad that he's gone, but I don't want him on the team next year. Yeah,
exactly.
It's very, very little, but it can appreciate the greatness. Texter says 10. JV was epic, so was having Kate Upton around town. I hate texts like this.
I do too.
Like, you're hanging out with Kate Upton because she lives in Houston? No, you're not. You're seeing her just as much as you would if he was playing for the Yankees. It's such a weird, bizarre response to me.
And you really, I mean, how often did you see her, too? The only thing she did is she put the old warm-up jacket back on the map.
You see her on the broadcast of games. You're not going to see her now.
Only in the playoffs?
Yeah, only in the playoffs.
Okay, that's...
Or if there was a milestone. Wasn't there one milestone where she was...
No, not necessarily. Like, she might be there at Giants games, and you can watch them on national television.
If you think they're going to make the postseason.
Like, it's just so, like, well, Kate Upton lives in Houston because Justin Verlander's here. That's the reason that I'm sad that he's now gone. You're a creep.
I think
you're
a creep. I'm worried about you. Seriously.
It's weird.
It's weird if he meant
it. I want him in Houston because he has a hot wife.
It's weird if he meant it seriously. I don't think he meant that seriously.
I don't know, man.
Call that. Was it the, I forget what
they call
year.
Them creeps.
No, but the year of the 80s that they wore the bullpen jacket that was navy blue on top with the rainbow stripes, they call it the Kate Upton because she, during the playoff run, that's all she wore. And then it was like this huge uproar in the city with the females to get the same, because she's a fashion icon, I guess, to some degree, that everybody
I didn't know
wanted
it was
the
an
Kate
uproar
Upton.
With the females.
It was the fashion trend, but I don't think that texture was a female.
No, I'm not saying the texture was.
Crane and Granato are sad JV is gone. Crane, I don't know if Crane is. Crane's broken up with Verlander twice. Twice Jim Crane has broken up with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, but they made up so that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think they're friendly. I think they're cordial.
I'm saying they made up when he traded for him to get him the second time.
I wouldn't completely rule out Justin Verlander wouldn't return to Houston. This is a 1 year deal.
If he goes out, mid-season trade?
Not necessarily a mid-season trade, but maybe. But like, there's two ways that you can acquire Justin Verlander before 2026. You could acquire him in another mid-season trade, or he's a free agent at the end of next year. If he bounces back, pitches well, and the Astros have a need for starting pitching, and Verlander wants to come back, and he gives you hopefully less than $15 million, which he probably wouldn't if he's pitching well.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't completely rule it out. I think it's greater than 0, less than 1. Bye-bye, Justin. My heart's not broken, says another member of the Hive. Justin's wife wanted him to play in California, says another texter. For $15 million, would need a package deal that includes Kate Upton. There's another weirdo.
It is weird.
Oh, yeah, we Kate Upton. I'm sad that Verlander's gone because of Kate Upton. Another texter, not sad. He left a little over a year ago on his own for more money. Not sad at all. 1 by Felicia. As far as JV is concerned, my sadness at him leaving is -812. It's a big number. -9 on JV. Glad he's gone. He was just taking up a roster spot last year. Need to cut Lance Barista, too.
I don't understand these fans. Like, I get that look, he didn't have a lot of success pitching in the World Series. He's only won one World Series playoff game, and that was against the Phillies. I get that obviously he didn't end well and he trailed off and he wasn't even on the playoff roster when he lost to the Tigers. But he still brought you and was at the forefront of the most successful years you've ever had as a franchise, won two Cy Youngs, was absolutely dominant for a 3-4 year stretch. I don't get the, oh, he's gone, let's hate him now. I don't get that mindset.
Yeah,
and not that Astros fans have only done it to Verlander, and Verlander is unique or different than how they treated other players, but I don't get that mindset from fans.
I just think that when you look at it, the short-sightedness of this is that you're being ridiculous if you don't think that he wasn't a major factor in the reason why you have two trophies. And what he did while he was here was better than you could have ever dreamed of in when you made the initial deal. And when it went right down to the wire, too, and added all that drama to it, and then you ended up winning your first ever World Series, that should have already started to etch a name for him in your history books as a positive. Yeah, I don't understand the hate. You could say, hey, look, the time has come. He wasn't playing a position anymore in which you were in a desperate need of another starting pitcher. You've got a ton of them. A lot of them aren't healthy right now, but you've got enough to where we were all fine if he signed somewhere else. But at the same time, don't forget what he did while he was here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think people have more disdain for Verlander than a lot of teams would for one of their all-time greats. Verlander's one of the all-time greats in Houston Astros history. We can argue to what level, but he's an all-time great.
He's at least top three.
All-time great.
Yeah.
All-time great in Astros history, and I don't care that he's gone. Comparing him to Lance Barista, -812.
That's stupid.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I got the hate when Gerrit Cole left because he went to the Yankees and put on Scott Boras cap within minutes of the team losing in Game 7. I get that hate for Gerrit Cole. But Verlander, I know he left for the Mets for more money, but it's more money. Like, who amongst us wouldn't take the fattest check you can take? And he came back at some point, so I don't get the hate.
And the weird thing, too, Charlie Morton left. They didn't want to give him the money. He got more money somewhere else.
And we still love him.
And he is beloved as Charlie effing Morton.
Yeah,
it's
we
weird.
Still love him. I don't get it with Verlander. The only thing I could think of is that year that he had Tommy John, there were some grumblings of him not spending enough time around the team.
Yeah, remember the team didn't want him to throw out the first pitch.
Right, maybe that leaked out into some of the fans' feelings about him.
I think he had a little diva in him, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt he had a little bit of diva in him, but... texter here saying just because you aren't sad about it doesn't mean you hate him. No, that's fair. Like, we have it at two. We're not sad that he's gone. But then having these people taking pot shots at Justin Verlander, one of the all-time greats in Houston Astros histories, we're probably going a little too far. Brandon T, thank you, JV, for everything, but I'm at a one. It was time to move on. I think that probably sums up our thoughts perfectly.
Yeah, yep.
Here's another one about Verlander. Verlander is garbage.
Maybe all-time great.
Yeah.
Tell me that you don't watch baseball then.
See, that's the difference between, like, not being sad that he's gone and still, like, you know, being respectful to him. The other one, Verlander's garbage. That's what we're talking about, Texter. Like, yes, you can not be sad that he's gone, but then Verlander is garbage.
Yeah.
Like, what? He anchored two World Series winning teams in Houston. This organization has two World Series wins all time. In franchise history, you've won two World Series. Verlander was the ace on both of those staffs.
Like, you could say, well, Clemens and Pettit, they were so beloved. And they came here. They didn't get you over the top. They didn't win a World Series. Clemens pitched half the games. You know, he was on that limited schedule. They weren't here long enough and do those kind of things anyway. People can love Roy Oswalt, but that's the thing. When you look at Roy Oswalt, you look at Justin Verlander, and you look at Verlander's numbers, they could be surprised where Justin Verlander sits.
I'm glad you brought up the name Clemens. That's a great point because, to me, there's a lot of parallels there. If you hate, for some reason now you're angry at Verlander and don't like him, why wouldn't you be mad at Roger? Roger Clemens decided to play half a season because he didn't want to play a full season and then went to the Yankees. We're going to love him and hate Verlander? Like, I don't hate Clemens. I'm just saying, if you're looking at the two, Clemens decided, you know, I'm only going to play half a season, and then he went to the Yankees afterwards.
Wasn't that your girl
Why do you hate Clemens and not Susan Waldman?
Yeah.
Rogers and George's box.
Yeah.
I mean, Pettit did the same thing. Like, Pettit left you too.
Yeah, but he didn't play half a season.
Yeah.
Did he pitch at the Yankees again after the Astros?
Yeah, he went back to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm, they both did. Maybe it's their roots. You know, maybe it's because Pettit's a Deer Park guy and Rogers a Memorial guy and, you know, went to Texas and San Jack, whereas Maybe. Verlander was more of a mercenary.
That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, I think there's something there.
713-780-ESPN. Troy, we'll get on to you. We'll get to you on the other side. A lot of texters want to weigh in on this too. 1 to 10. How sad are you that Justin Verlander is gone? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees. ESPN 97.5. ESPN 92.5.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN. How much do you miss? How sad are you that Verlander's leaving, that he's gone? 713-780-3776. Acquaintance guy, I'm more sad about the Astros trading Greg Kessinger than Justin Verlander leaving. I guess Greg Kessinger cleared the waivers process, huh? He got DFA'd, and they traded him 2 weeks later. Good that they traded him. I don't think it really moves the needle, though. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Troy, you're in the hive. How sad are you that JV is gone?
Hey, guys. Glad you took the call. My opinion is he is the greatest Astros pitcher playing for the Astros, and I'm at a 7 just because he was my favorite pitcher of all time, and I've watched a lot of Astros baseball. You don't win 2 World Series without that man pitching. But for $15 million, you don't know how much gas he's got left in the tank. Yeah, it's probably time. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Troy. Look, I think if that's a 7 from an emotional standpoint because of your own personal feelings, totally get it. But from a baseball perspective, that's why I'm at a 1, because I think the time had come. He doesn't look like he's got a lot left, and they got a lot of starting pitching, and they need every dollar that they can possibly still have in reserve so they can try and get a bat in the outfield.
Sean says, greatest Astro pitcher ever, ? You're forgetting about that Nolan Ryan guy. Look, Nolan Ryan, 0 Cy Young, 0 World Series as an Astro. Justin Verlander, 2 Cy Youngs, 2 World Series titles as an Astro. Love Nolan Ryan. And I understand that's not a popular opinion because Nolan Ryan's a sports god in these
parts. How many years Nolan play here?
I think like 12.
Because he played for like 10? What, 4 or 5 teams?
He played for the Angels, the Mets, the Astros, and the Rangers.
Yeah.
I think he was here for 8 seasons. Okay. Like 80 to 88.
Verlander was
9 seasons, but
Verlander traded in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, left you for half, got him back 6.5, 7.5. And then he also missed a year. So he was here 7.5 years, played 6.5.
I think that's more than enough with the numbers and the accomplishments and what he did in Astros uniform.
Yeah, Ryan was here for 9 years. Nolan Ryan for 9. Verlander, I just counted them, but
6.5,
officially 7, but missed an entire year. 6.5 would count as 7, but then missed a year. So, yeah. I mean, Nolan Ryan has the volume over Verlander. He's going to have more strikeouts. He's going to have more wins than Verlander had as an Astro. But Verlander's peaks were higher. I mean, Verlander, 2-time Cy Young. Nolan Ryan, 0 as an Astro. Nolan Ryan anchored 2 World Series winning staffs. Nolan Ryan anchored 0 of them. I think that the peaks are higher for Verlander, so it's, are you a peak guy or are you a volume guy? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. The Twitch doesn't care. The Twitch are ruthless. King of Twitch, business is business. I don't know any of these guys personally. Was good for the Astros, but I don't know them personally. I'm here for that. You know, I like that take. I believe the same. Not sad at all. He had a great run here in Houston, but he's no longer that player anymore. I wish him the best in San Francisco. I do, too. What kind of year do you think he has next year?
I'm just not. I need to see, you know, and especially early on, it's going to be a real telltale sign to see where he's at. But I don't expect at his age that he's going to have a bounce back to be anything close to what he once was. I just think at, what, is he 40?
I think he's going to be 43.
42?
42.
So he's 42, and he really looked gassed and not very good at the end of the year when he came back. I don't expect much from him, and I think that he's playing with a so-so baseball team, a decent baseball team, but I maybe 5 wins?
Yeah, 5's I mean, it depends on how he bounces back.
I was going to say, I don't
know
if he's going to finish the season.
It depends on how much of his troubles last year were injury versus, you know, father time. If there were 100% injuries, then he has a chance to bounce back and be okay. If that was father time, then we're going to see Justin Verlander pitch like he did in the second half of last year, which was atrocious once he came back. Key from L.A., who do you love the most, the Dream, Altuve, or Verlander?
To me, it's easy. It's the Dream.
Yeah, it's the Dream. Go Cougs. Ryan also has his own beef company. Love the hamburger patties. Nolan Ryan beef. It's a good point.
He's got his own beef, too, with the Astros.
He does. Yeah, maybe. I won't know how much I care about Verlander being gone until I see how he pitches next year. At least he's in the National League. So, like, even if he pitches well, it's in the National League. And at least it's not a team that we hate. Like, right. If it was the Dodgers, that would really stink.
Oh, boy. I mean, you could root for him, except for when they play the Astros, and they play him in April, I believe. But... yeah, I mean, he's in the National League. If you want to still be a Verlander fan and you want to root him on and hope he gets 300 wins and all those things, it's a lot easier to swallow that with him being with the Giants than it would be if he went to the Yankees or the Dodgers or teams that you really don't like.
Texter says maybe JV hate is because of his playoff record. Justin Verlander career in the postseason, 17-12 with a 358 ERA. That's pretty good. That's pretty up against playoff competition. Like, this is like you're eliminating all the bad teams. So against playoff competition, Justin Verlander is 17-12 in his postseason career with 358 ERA. That's pretty good, guys.
He was the ALCS MVP, right?
Yeah.
In 17.
Yeah. Another, it's the we literally love Altuve. I literally love Verlander moment. Like, somebody else texted and he never had a signature playoff moment. Were you not alive in 2017?
Jeez.
Were you not watching the 2017 ALCS where he dominated and got the Astros to the World Series? In the ALCS, here are his numbers, by the way, when he was the ALCS MVP. Against the Yankees, by the way, the hated Yankees, he started two games in that series. He won both of those games. In 16 innings, he allowed one run and struck out 21 dudes. Like, Verlander's not good in the postseason. You're cherry-picking. You're nitpicking. Now, you could have a case about the World Series.
Yep.
He wasn't very good in the World Series. 1-6 all-time, 5.63 ERA. That's not good. But his postseason numbers were good. And he did have postseason heroics. They just stopped once they got to the World Series.
Of the 1-6, how many were with the Astros?
I think all of them. He lost two games in Detroit in 06. You're right.
Yeah, so he was 1-4 here.
Actually, he went to the World Series twice in Detroit. He went to the World Series in 06 and in 12. I didn't realize he made it there twice. So, and he went 0-2 the first time with Detroit, 0-1 the second time with Detroit.
So yeah, I think the first time.
So he's 1-3. Still not great, but yeah, it does make it sound better than 1-6.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first time he was a rookie.
Yeah, I think so. 06, probably 23.
Yeah, I think that was his rookie season. So, you grade him a little bit of a curve there.
It was his rookie year.
Yeah. I mean, so that's why you got to take it all into consideration. If you want to hammer on the guy, that's ludicrous. I mean, he was really, really good for this team when he was here. Maybe part of it, too, was like you said, he was a little bit of a diva at times. And yeah, I know people would talk about if you saw them out, even if you were sending them drinks or... I think even Lance said one time they sent him over a bottle of wine or something, and he didn't really want anybody to come to the table or anything like that, but just waved, and they wanted to be left alone, and I think that's part of the reason why they liked Houston.
Probably. Yeah, I'd probably be the same way, too. Like, I don't like being bothered. If I was super popular, I wouldn't want to be bothered. Why are y'all surprised that Houston sports fans are acting dumb? They're Houston sports fans. That's not very nice.
Ouch.
713 area code. We're not going to
read that.
We're not going to read mean text like that. 713-780-3776. Would the hate be as strong if he retired instead of went to another franchise? Both are considered leaving. See, I don't think that this is him like bolting you in free agency. I think people don't love Verlander maybe like as he should be loved because he didn't finish strong. And he probably had a little bit of the diva-ness to him, I think. I think that's my take anyways.
Yeah, I think this wasn't about if he walked away from the game or not. I think that realistically, behind closed doors, the Astros basically probably already told them, hey, thanks for the memories, but, we're going to probably use our money elsewhere. And I think that there was enough respect between the two parties that was fine. He doesn't have to walk away and retire, and you don't have to bring him back. That doesn't mean that it tarnishes what he did while he was here.
No, I think they're two separate things for sure. Another texter, there's no arguing that he had a heck of a career with the Astros, but his career is over, so instead of spending millions on him, it's time to move on. No one was clamoring to bring Verlander back, by the way. None of us on this radio show were saying, Jim Crane, Justin Verlander, or bust. None of us really wanted Verlander. I could have tolerated Verlander if he was your sixth starter and you got him cheap.
That's what we
said.
He
was going to eat innings.
And he made like half of what he got from the
Giants. We said
$7 million at most.
Yeah, he gave you a sweetheart deal, and you could just say, well, you were going to look at some other options, and to keep him here for like you said, like $5-7 million, great.
If he basically cost you what it would cost you to pay any flyer at starting pitcher, then sure. I'd rather have Verlander over random flyer if the cost is the same. But at $15 million, I'll pass.
Yeah,
we also forget he had a no-hitter here.
See, I don't really care about no-hitters that much. Like, it's great in the moment, but whenever I look back at a guy, like, oh, he had three no-hitters, whatever, like, that to me doesn't carry that much weight.
I think it's also, look, this fan base has been spoiled by a surplus of no-hitters.
They've had a lot of no-hitters.
But at the same time, when you look at what he did while he was an Astro, you can also add the fact that he had a no-hitter. No, Nolan had a ton of no-hitters. But I think at the time, people thought that was really cool that he threw a no-hitter, too.
No-hitters overrated. Go get a perfect game, dude. Stop walking, guys.
What a hard O-take.
Aaron in Mid-County, these fans that say they don't care and talk bad about JV really do care more than most, and being negative is their way to convince themselves it's okay. He's gone. I think Aaron in Mid-County might be my therapist. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Is Blankers being thirsty acceptable? Tell you what we mean and how he was thirsty on Twitter yesterday. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.